Our scripture this morning is Matthew 28. It's the account of the resurrection and several of the events right after that. But our text for the sermon itself is going to be the end of the chapter, verses 18 to 20, known as the Great Commission. Let's hear God's word, Matthew chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them, and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This ends the reading in God's word. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you have not been silent, but that you have spoken, that you have not turned your face away from sinful men, but that you have come to us, even in our sins, and that you have awakened us. You've given us new life in Christ, and you've given us your word, and you've given us understanding. We pray, Lord, for that understanding, that you would again quicken us and bless the ministry of your word to our hearing this day. We ask now that you would hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a passage we've gone over so often, and we no doubt can almost say it by memory, the end of Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. There are different ways in which Jesus states that Great Commission in different places in the Gospels. In Mark, the end of Mark, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, Jesus says, "This is what is written, Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised, and stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." And of course, Acts chapter 1 talks about the about the gospel going out. The Spirit will come on you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So several times over, this Great Commission is stated in one form or another. But I want to us to take a look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20 this morning. And it's a powerful passage, and we're going to see this within the context of Scripture as well. I mean, there was a command that God gave at the very beginning of creation. When he created male and female, he created them to subdue the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, over all the earth, over all the creatures, and to increase in numbers, subdue it. Even after the flood, he repeats this again. We're also very familiar with the fact that mankind had fallen into sin, that God, who had provided everything for them within the Garden of Eden, kept one thing from them, and the devil caused Eve and Adam to consider themselves as possibly as good as God. And they did. They ate. And with that, God put a curse on mankind. He put a curse on the devil as well. But that curse also brought a blessing. As he curses the serpent, I'll put enmity between you and the devil, between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. It shall bruise your head, you will bruise its heel. That, of course, comes throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, the picture of our Savior. The picture of our Savior in various shadows and types are shown throughout the Old Testament. We see the prophets speaking God's word. We see the priests bringing the sacrifices in before God. We see the kings that are there with power, keeping with them a copy of God's law, as they are to administer it and have the authority to do so. We see these shadows of the coming of Christ. For God is going to send a Savior into this dark world. He's going to send a Savior into a world where we suddenly start to see murder, where we start to see anger, where we start to see dissent and divisions. And Jesus comes. He comes into a world that is not perfect by any means, and he receives the pushback of that anger, of that dissent, of those divisions, of that selfishness. And suddenly, he might be replacing them. But Jesus comes and deals a death blow to sin. And that death blow is shown even in the giving of Jesus, of his taking back his life again. He has authority to lay down his life to take it back again. Death no longer has a sting. Death has lost its victory. The devil has lost its power. The devil has been dealt a blow. A new creation is coming. The kingdom of heaven is near. So it's time to proclaim repentance. It's time to proclaim faith in Jesus Christ. It's a time to turn to our God who created us and made us, the God who will bring all things and make all things new. It's interesting the number of times the word all is used in these various statements. All, everything, always. The Great Commission, we're going to see, hits us square in the face. It hits us right where we live today. And in a world of division, in a world of anger, in a world of spite, in a world of men trying to gain over one another, we hear terms like cancel culture, critical race theory, woke. You have to look these things up to find out what's going on. We see people divided like they've not been before. We've lived in a country that we've enjoyed. We've raised our children in situations that we found freedoms. But I'm not preaching this today simply to restore that kind of a pleasant circumstance. That's only a periphery, a peripheral matter. The Great Commission is that we might know that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go throughout the whole earth, and he will use us for that purpose. And he will be the one who does it, as he uses us as his instruments. So Jesus, who holds all authority, Jesus, who now is the Son of Man of Daniel, Jesus Christ, I love the passage, and I've probably quoted it many times here in Janesville, but I love the passage in Ephesians 1, verse 22, where God raised Jesus from the dead and lifted him up to be of all things for the sake of the church. You consider that verse, Jesus Christ raised up, made head over all things for the church. For the church. Whatever the world may come with, may bring to try to destroy the things of the church, Jesus Christ is there for the church. And through all the difficulties that the world may bring, to all the things that we might even feed on from the world, Jesus Christ can take our hearts and turn them around and give praise to him and follow him in all ways. For one day there will be a cancel culture. Christ will come again. And all things will be made new. The things of this world will be put aside and thrown away. So that's what we're looking at when we begin to look at this Great Commission. The world is about to receive a ministry that it had not known except through the shadows and types of the Old Testament. Now the reality has come. Jesus Christ literally, in person, came, lived a perfect life, died that death that satisfied the Father, raised from the dead, came alive, and ascended to the right hand of the Father, to rule over us now. Who's going to stop that? What can the world do to that? Well, we can start to quake in our own shoes sometimes, thinking about the things the world does. But it won't win. Because the Great Commission comes with power. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. All authority. Leaders of some of our largest nations may try to destroy churches. They may try to have their pictures put up on all the walls. But Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. That's where the authority is right now. Was there anything in Jesus' ministry that showed that he didn't have authority? Even in subjection to the cross, he had authority to lay down his own life. He gave sight to the blind. He stilled the storm. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. We come to church every Lord's Day in order to hear that over and over again. That this is our Jesus. That we are his people, his sheep. The power of the Great Commission is committed to him. Where can we look for greater power, greater authority? But then Jesus says, this is the practice of the Great Commission. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. He gives two ways in which that is to be done. The first way is to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, when someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, yes, they are to be baptized. You and your household, you and your children. Our children, they don't know a single verse of Scripture yet. How can they recite and give credible profession of faith? No, that's what it says. They belong to me. It also teaches us something, and that is that even we who were made confession of faith, it's God who gave us the ability to do so. It's God who turned our hearts to be able to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he is my Savior. It is God who gives us that faith. It is by grace that we receive faith. It is by grace that our hearts are turned. I don't know, somebody might come up with a do-it-yourself heart transplant, but that's not what I see in Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart. A new spirit will I put within you. God changes the heart. And baptism is a picture of that. Just as circumcision was in the Old Testament. We are what we are because God has turned us. Because God has made us his own. The Father calls you from all eternity. The Son comes, bleeds, dies, rises again. The Holy Spirit gives life, opens our eyes, our hearts to Christ. And everywhere we go, we carry that identity. In that sense, we cannot go around saying, look how great I am. I put my trust in Christ. What we say is, look how great Christ is. He gave me a heart to trust him. Baptizing them. Well, we know what baptism looks like. We've seen it. There might be differences of opinion as to how it's done. But I don't want to go into that. I want to emphasize that fact that baptizing is the mark of a person having become a Christian. And it's also a mark that speaks of God's work. Not God's responding, but it's our acknowledging God is doing the work. That he saves us. It's by his grace. And we are also to bring the gospel to all nations, make disciples of all nations by teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to bring that word out, to preach it, yes, but to teach it, to explain it. That people may know what God's word says. That the world may hear God's word. That the world may hear Jesus' words, which are not contrary to God's word, but Jesus fulfills God's words. You read the Sermon on the Mount, and you see that. Now, Jesus takes the Old Testament passage and says, but I say to you, and we see the fuller picture. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That doesn't mean you can toss out the Old Testament or forget about everything after the Gospels. No, because the Holy Spirit will take what is mine, John 16 says, and he will teach you. He will take what is mine from me, and he will teach you. And even Jesus took from the Old Testament to show how it pointed to him. beautiful picture we have of the teaching of God's Word. Making disciples involves more than baptizing. It involves teaching. I trust that within our church here, you have a pattern of memory work. Our children in your homes learn to memorize the Scripture, learn to go over it. I have to admit, the older you get, the harder it is to do so, and you just have to keep hammering at it and keep going over and over again. But you remember it. So that wherever you go, you don't have to have the whole book in front of you. You can just, there it is. You can meditate on it. And the people of the world need to hear that word. They need to hear your personal statement. They need to hear your witness. They need to see your witness. Are you going to succeed all the time? No, you don't exceed all the time. But then we're not the ones who succeed. We do what God tells us to do, and those who are His will respond. We are to make it clear. We're to live it. And we let the world know that we're not perfect. And that's why we keep hoping in Christ. We are not perfect. So the Great Commission then gives us the power, pictures for us the power of the church. It's in Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It also pictures for us the practice of the church, the practice in which we are now to go to all nations. We are to baptize. That is the church's work, but to teach, to raise our children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to show the picture of what marriage is before a world. To show the picture of what it is to be in the image of God. What it is to care for one another. To show the love of God. Love to God. Love to one another. I don't see that in a lot of the things that are coming out today. I don't see that encouraged in many of the things that the world is bringing forward. And yes, we can point to history, and we can point to various figures in history that they weren't perfect either. Why? Because they're in the same position we are. They're sinners. They need Jesus Christ as you and I need Jesus Christ. The people across the street, the people down the valley, the people that side of town, people in the next state below you, including me, we need Jesus. Making disciples involves then being equipped to face the enemy. And of course, we have that picture of facing the enemy in Ephesians chapter 6, with the picture of the sword and the shield and the helmet of salvation, the full armor of God. But that armor is not complete without that last verse in verse 18, which says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." You notice what I was emphasizing there, the word all. Love that verse, just right there. Everything, prayer. Why do we pray? Because Jesus is the one who is pictured in the sword, in the word, in the shield, in the feet, in the belt. And that takes us to the latter part of this passage where it says, where we have the promise of the Great Commission. "And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." to the end of the age. Does that mean till Jesus comes again? No, the age has already started. This age has already started. When he comes again, we will continue on, but in the fullness of that perfect age, we'll be glorified. His promised presence at all times. As Hanani said to Asa in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 16, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Is there any place we go where the eyes of the Lord are not with us? Jesus now is that authority. "I am surely with you always to the end of the age." We can't get away. Jesus says in John 14, even though he's going to go to heaven, he says, "I will come to you." What does he mean, "I will come to you"? He's sending his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come to you. He says, "I will come to you." And the Holy Spirit will take what is of Christ and will then apply it to us. The Holy Spirit continues the work of Christ. The Holy Spirit is Christ's presence with us at all times. When we come to the end of John 14, I love that verse that says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In one sense, that word peace is the Holy Spirit. Jesus leaves us with that peace. "Where can we go from your Spirit?" the psalmist says. "Where can I flee from your presence?" No, we can't. And that's the blessing. That's the blessing of this age. We belong to Christ. He is our Savior. This commission still applies May of 2021. It applies today. And it will apply until our Savior comes again. The power of the Great Commission, Jesus Christ. The practice, teaching Christ. Showing that Jesus saves as we baptize. The presence of Christ. The promise of his presence at all times. So don't be afraid. I'm with you always. The world may show its various ways of trying to get us very agitated and unsettled. But I am with you always. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you for the promise that you have given. Even as it is a commission, our Father, you fill that commission with the blessing of your presence, of your power, and of your teaching, that we may know, Lord, that there is nothing that we can add to it, but you have given it to us, that we might know that your kingdom will last forever, and that one day there will be a time when everything will be wiped away, washed away, and that a new world will come, a world, Lord, in which we will find life, no more sadness, no more death, no more pain, but a world that our Savior has come to save. And our Father, we pray you would give us your blessing as we seek to be a witness to you, not only in the words we speak, but also in the actions that we do before others. Hear us now, Lord. Go with us. Keep your church in your care as you have promised. As we have that promise in your great commission, we look to you for our help and our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.